Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me today to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I'm believing God to touch and minister to us today. Amen. I believe with all my heart, God is getting ready to fulfill what I'm going to read to you to this church. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on getting an upgrade. And I was toying with several things I was going to preach this morning. God just kind of took me back to this place and said, pick this up and go with it. So what I'm going to preach to you about this morning is simply this: moving into a new thing. Moving into a new thing. Isaiah 43, verse 14. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. For I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horses, the army of the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They shall extinct. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons, the owls, because I give water to the wilderness and rivers in the desert to the drink of my people, my chosen. The people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you now, Lord, by the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I do want to say again, be sure to be here tonight and help us with the singing and come enjoy it. These kids have been singing all their life, and they're good. They come from a church in Grand Bay. They're uncle pastors, and they're beginning to get singing engagements all over the state of Alabama, and you will enjoy them. They will sing a cross section. So I said, what does that mean? There'll be something for everybody. Amen? So come and be with us tonight. The best thing is we're going to worship God. Amen? Again, I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning, and I'm not going to promise you I'll be through by 12 today because I'm not going to get to preach tonight, so I can't wait and finish it tonight. Hello? Some of y'all got a problem with it? Take it up with the folks who start late. Y'all teach too long. Don't look at me like that. Amen. You know, there are times when we need more than just what we got. I don't know about y'all, but there are times we need a supernatural move of the power of God. And that's all that's ever going to change it. Have you ever figured that out? You ever been one of them places where something's got to happen, and y'all heard me make a statement where you look around and say, you know that's God. I mean, it's just got to happen that way. It can't be something you can explain away. You got to have something happen where you know that you know that you know that God just got involved in what's going on. Amen. And church, I'll be honest with you, that's what we need today in the house of God. We need a supernatural move of God that'll come in and turn his people around. Come on, church. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you act like we're all messed up. Listen, this isn't nothing new to the church. This has been going on for centuries. The church goes through cycles just like we do. I don't know about y'all, but in the years I've been living for God, guy asked me one day, said, how long you been living right? And I said, well, 36, 7 years off and on. He looked at me and said, what do you mean off and on? I said, well, I'm off sometime. I'm not going to lie to you. I mess up. I do some things wrong. I get down. I get out. I get depressed. I get all messed up. But I said, I try to stay on more than I'm off. Hello? But the church has the same thing. We go through. I can show you where preachers 100 years ago were wearing the church out. I remember reading Alexander McLaren. He was preaching a sermon in a Baptist church. And he said, where are the cloven tongues of the fire of Pentecost that fell on those people in the upper room and drove them into a lost and dying world? Where is that fire that was so shut up in their bones that they couldn't contain it? Where is that fire that God sent to the early church? He said, it is still falling. But we sit in our icy igloos, a religious atmosphere, and we literally freeze in the flame of God's glory. I got to tell you, 100 years ago, that was good, but it'll work right now. We've got people so hung in religious order, God can't do anything in their life. And for that reason, God, we need to move to something new. We need a supernatural outpouring of the power of God to change us and to bring us up where God wants us to be. Could you say amen? I was reading about the Great Depression, and that's depressing. My dad lived through it, and he used to talk about it. No matter how bad things was, it was always worse than the Great Depression. Glory. I don't know how y'all came up, but I came up poor. I mean, we were so bad off, we'd actually robbed the garbage man when he came by. It wasn't that bad, but it was about that bad. I lived off commodity foods. Any of y'all remember that? Peanut butter. Old gritty peanut butter. Tastes like it had sand in it, but it was good because that's all we knew. And I'd kill for some of that cheese. Whew. That big old long block, about a 5-pound block of cheese, you'd put a knife on it and have to jump up and down on it to get it to go through it. But boy, it was good with some crackers, wasn't it? Glory. Amen. Split pea ham soup with very little ham, just mostly split peas. Glory. Hello? I remember that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. When you read about the Depression, as far as people were concerned back then, we're pretty close to that now. We got more people out of work than had out of work in the Depression. Just wasn't as many people back then. But the truth of the matter is, we're in that era. And you know what I read about that? This writer that I was reading made the statement that it was during that time that the evangelical churches of America distinguished themselves because of the faith they had in their God to believe that God could provide their needs. And there were a group of people he even pulled out from them, and he called them Pentecostals. He said because of their relationship with God, because of their desire to be touched by the power of God, they superseded many others because they believed there was only one way, one life, one truth, and that was God Almighty. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? You know, when you look at the book of Isaiah, you're going to see a mirror image of the Word of God. So, preacher, what are you talking about? There's 66 books in the book of Isaiah. There's 66 books, or 66 chapters in Isaiah, 66 books in the Bible. You think that's an accident? Well, read Isaiah. First 39 chapters of Isaiah are all historical, talking about what was, what did, what went on. Do you realize the first 39 books of the Bible are Old Testament, talking about what was, what went on? Hello? Sometimes giving a peek into the future. The last 27 chapters of Isaiah deals with spiritual Israel and the future. The last 27 books of the Bible deals with spiritual Israel. Hello? Some of y'all laying there and say, wait a minute, preacher, that's the New Testament. Hey, wake up. We are spiritual Israel. Some of you say, well, I ain't no Jew. Well, then you ain't a Christian. Amen. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. Some of y'all got that look on your face like you need to pray through. Oh, well, I ain't no Jew. Well, my Bible said he is not a Jew who is one outwardly and who circumcises of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly and who circumcises him become of the heart, and his praises then become of God and not of man. Paul made this statement in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He said, we did not receive the spirit of a bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, my Father, which art in heaven. I want to tell you something, honey. We are the spiritual Israel. Amen. And therefore, when we talk about what the Word of God's doing, it is leaning toward us, and our answers are not going to come from the world. Congress is not going to pass a law to fix things. The president's not going to come up with an idea tomorrow that's going to change this world around. But our answers are going to come from a sovereign move of Almighty God in our lives and in our homes and in our family. But can I tell you, religious people are the hardest people to get to believe that. Those of us that read the Bible some, and go to church every week, it's hard to get them to believe what I'm trying to tell you. Hello? I mean, we got it down. We know when to clap. We know when to write a check for the offering. We know when to shout. I was at one church. I went there about twice a year to run revivals, and it was so bad they had one song they sung. I could tell you when they was going to shout, because when they hit that one point of the song, everybody, whoa! They'd go to shouting. I looked up at the preacher. I said, is that not programmed? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I'm here twice a year, and every time y'all sing that song, they shout the same spot. It's almost like it's a button gets pushed. Woo, we got to go. Hello? Don't look at me like that. We know how to do things in the church. We've been around long enough to know. But you know what? That makes us scary because we're so good at it. We don't have a place for God to come in and do something different because that ain't the way we do it. Come on, church. Smile at me. I mean, let's face it, church. I was at Mount Parham a few weeks ago and found out that a couple of weeks prior to that, that church that runs 4,000 or 5,000 on Sunday morning got to having church so bad they couldn't even have preaching. They just got in altars, went to bawling and squalling and having church. And I said, my God, if that can happen here, it's still hope for everybody. Come on, church. Amen. Y'all got to understand, that's about as stiff-necked a place you ever been in your life. It ain't bad as Rushmore, but it's bad. Those are what that is. There's a church in Cleveland. We used to call it Rushmore. That's where you went when you wanted to rest because they wasn't about to have church. Glory. Hello. Some of y'all from there, I love you. Frieda and I went there one Sunday morning and they prayed 15 times and I ain't felt nothing except wanting to leave. Glory. Now, you know what? They had a 10-week revival in that church a few years later, and now the students go there because they're having church. Glory. I want to tell you something, friend. That's the way it's supposed to be. Come on, church. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Why do the religious not accept him? If you read Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 through 18, I got that in the reading. She's going to put it up. But if that ain't good enough for you, turn to Mark 2 or Luke 7, and you're going to find in all three places Jesus asked the same question. Why is it the Pharisees will not believe in you? Why is it the Pharisees will not accept you are a man of God? And this is what Jesus said. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put into the fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, as the bottles break and the wine run out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. Hello? You know what Jesus said? He said, they so stuck and crusted in what they are, they can't get anything new. Do you know what's wrong with most of us? We don't want nothing new. I mean, we can't have it that way because, I mean, my God, can I tell you, church, there's an old saying, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you ain't never going to get no more than you already got. And we got folks in the church that I like it the way it is. I want to be honest with you, church. I like what I feel in my life, but I want more. I want more of God, more of his anointing, more of his presence. And the only way we're going to get it's do something different. Oh. Now, those of you understand how they used to make wineskins, they'd take a goat, they'd kill it, skin him down. They'd take that skin while it was still green, and they'd sew up the legs and the stomach part, and they'd get up to the neck, they'd leave it open, they'd pour the wine in. Now, the reason they'd do that, it would stretch as they poured the wine in, and then they'd seal it off and hang it. And as that wine matured in there, it would move its shape, and that thing would just take any shape it needed to shape. Hello? Some of y'all look at me and say, preacher, what's that got to do with me? Well, if they used that wineskin after it sat there for a few years, it ain't pliable anymore. It don't move. Once the wine's out of it, you can't put new wine in it, because if you do, it won't stretch. It'll bust. I remember years ago, I was in the office at the Northport Church of God. Brother Earl Hall had a book. I read that book. It's been 30 years ago. Old New Wine in Old Wineskins. And this priest and rabbi in Israel was talking about how they got to the point they needed wineskins and they didn't have enough new goats. They weren't killing enough. And so they needed more wineskins. So they had to learn to make old wineskins usable again. And they'd take them, and they'd put that oil in them. And they begin to rub the oil into them. And as they put the olive oil into them and rub it into them, they'd become a little more pliable. But you know, there were some of them so crusty, that wouldn't work. Hello? Some of y'all done figured out where I'm going with this. You might well smile, because I got your number. Some of y'all so crusty, oil ain't going to help you. I could pour a bottle on you, and you'd still be the same way you was. Uh-oh, Frida's reaching for her pills already. She says, oh God, we moving next week. Glory. Listen, what they'd have to do with some of them is they'd take a vat of oil, get it to boiling, they'd stick that thing over it and boil it for a day or two. And then it'd get pliable again. They could use it again. You say, preacher, why am I in what I'm in? Might be God's got you in a vat boiling. You trying to loosen you up so he can put something new in your life. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? See, I don't want yesterday's blessing. My granddad was a Church of God member from the time he was 12 years old. At 97, when he passed away, he'd been filled with the Holy Ghost for 85 years. I mean, man, that guy knew what it was to shout, speak in tongues, have church. I never forget, I was at his house one night. We were praying. And I said, God, give me what my papa's got. And he hit me across the back of the head and said, boy, you don't want what I got. What I got was good for my day. You need something for your day, because there's a day coming. You got to have something new or you ain't going to make it. And I got to tell you something first. I like that old man's wisdom. I don't need yesterday's blessing. I don't need it like it used to be. What I need is a fresh touch, a move of God, a fire of God to move in my soul that'll light me up like never before. Could you say amen? Point one. And I got to it 4:12. We must move past the past. There's two things about the past that you got to understand. You're either tied to it or you're bound up in it. Everybody talks about the good old days. You ever hear that? Well, I remember the good old days. And a guy told me one day, he said, I remember the good old days back in the 70s when you could have church. I said, I remember the good old days when preacher's salaries were $200 a week. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but that was the good old days as far as I was concerned. Because I was evangelizing. Church of God guaranteed me $125 a week. That's all I was guaranteed. I went to some churches where they gave me the whole $125 because the church didn't give me nothing. Hello? Don't get excited when I retired as an evangelist, become your pastor, they still guaranteed $125 a week. At least you knew you'd get a little cash money. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Some of y'all may remember the good old days. I was talking about my good old days the other day. Just, you know, a while ago, when we had commodity foods because we couldn't afford real stuff. I don't know about y'all. I like them days, but I don't want to go back to them. Somebody told me, she said, well, that's God. Didn't you like it when you was a boy? We didn't put popcorn around a Christmas tree to make it look good. That was all we had to put on the stinking tree. Huh? I didn't make no list out of what I was getting for Christmas. That's the dumbest thing you could do, because you wasn't getting nothing but for some clothes and one toy. And it couldn't cost much or you wasn't getting it. Hello? I remember I got a submarine one time that would actually go under the water. Don't ever do that at a lake. You do it in a bathtub. I did it at the lake. Never saw my submarine again. But see, some people are bound to the past. The church, there's some things about your past you don't want to forget. Good things make you happy. Times you want to remember. But there's some things about your past you get bound up in. Some of you can't let go of things that happened to you, and now it's got you bound down where you can't let nothing else happen to you. And you put up these walls where nobody can do anything for you, nobody can help you, nobody can do anything with you. You're just all messed up. Come on, church. Because you're still stuck in the past. You're still all upset because so-and-so done you wrong. Some preacher let you down. Or, oh, that preacher did me wrong, so I ain't doing nothing over here. Y'all may not believe this, but I've actually had people come here. This guy, one guy walked up to him and said, look, I ain't going to do nothing to church. I just want to come here and see it. I said, this is a no parking zone. He said, what? I said, I don't want people ain't going to do something. I said, I got enough people doing that. I need some folk come in and help me get something done. Oh. I told you, get the peels out. I know y'all like it better when I ain't like this, but I like it when I'm like this. You know, they give us junk like, why'd I have to go through that? Who cares? The idea is you went through it. Quit thinking about why you went through it and realize the key word is through. You got through it. God brought you out on the other side. Come on, church. I can't explain why you went through what you went through. I can't explain why I've gone through things I've gone through. But there's an old song in that book that said, I'm going to understand it better by and by. And all I got to do is not worry about what God didn't do and just start worrying about what God's going to do and begin to pray and say, God, would you open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings into my life? Could you say amen? Listen, Joel chapter 2 gives me a promise. No matter how bad it gets, No matter how bad things are, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Amen. And notice what he said. He said, and then they're going to be, you shall eat plenty, shall be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Can I tell you, if you hang on, it's all coming around, and sooner or later God's going to bring you out and lift you up with the power of his divine grace. Oh, hallelujah. Got to move on. He goes on to say, and it shall come to pass after thou pour out my spirit upon all flesh. After what? After you've gone through it and I restore, I'm going to start giving you an outpouring. Whew. Come on, church. See, we like to quote that scripture, but we forget to get to the point there's an outpouring. You got to go through some stuff and get restored. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. See, some of you live your life like you're looking in a mirror driving down the road. How many of you understand if you ride down the road looking in a mirror, all you're going to see is where you've been, and you ain't never going to see where you're going? And how many of you understands if you left here, start looking in a mirror, stood in front of you, you're going to wreck before you get to town? Huh? I remember Alex called me one morning and said, Dad, I've been in a wreck. He was headed to school at Shelton State. Some girl come flying down through there and plowed into the back of his car. You know why? She was looking in a stinking mirror putting her makeup on. He was sitting at a red light. Because all she could see was what she wished she could see. But we got too many people trying to live their life looking in the back, trying to figure out where they used to be and what went on back there. And they're so messed up by it, they can never see the future. And they can never go what God wants them to be. Come on, church. Let me throw something at you. It won't cost you nothing. You may have already heard it from me, but you won't hear it from now on. It is not about you, and it is not about me, but it is about him. And when we make it about him, and what's going to happen in our life is because of him, through him, and by him, then things are going to change. As long as it's all about me and my little petty problems and my agendas, nothing's ever going to change. But when we make it about him and move past the past, I've got a God that's got a tomorrow for you that nothing in your past will ever match up to. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, I got to transform my present. That means I got to hurry. Because some of y'all done looked at your watch 3 times. Because I keep looking at mine, watching y'all look here. So I'm going to turn mine upside down. I don't like change. That's what some people tell me. I don't like change. But it's impossible to do a new thing without change. This is what Jeremiah said. He was worried about change. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the word of God came to him, and here's what he said after he went down to the potter's house. He said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord? For behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, I know some of y'all think you something. Y'all read that book. I'm somebody. I'm something. I know you walk around with this. Got that air about you like, you know. Come on, church. I ain't going to be like the black preacher on the radio one time preaching a sermon called Watch Them Dogs. He called some of his members poodle dogs. You know, he said, them's the ones got to have a special bath sauce and the toenails clipped just right and painted it. You know who I'm talking about? I said, they come in church late every Sunday napping their head like we all be glad they showed up. I wouldn't do that. I may one day preach that sermon. Y'all never know. Can I tell y'all something might blow some of your mind? You ain't nothing but a sack of dirt. I mean, look up the recipe. You water and dirt. That's all you are. That's all any of us are. God took some dirt, poured water in it, breathed on it, and we started running around. You're clay. And the only way you're ever going to be what God wants you to be is get on the wheel and let him make you into what you need to be. And quit getting mad because he put a curve where you wanted something else. Oh. Why'd all the ladies look at me like that? That was not intended to be a thing. That was just anybody. I mean, we all got an idea of what we want to do. Come on, church. You'd have talked to me before a prayer conference this year, I'd have told you I'd never pastor a church. Because I never had a desire to be a pastor of a church in my life till I stopped in this parking lot one night. And I'm here because God said, it's time for you to get on the wheel and let me do a little something with you. And if I'd been dumb enough not to have, I'd be flat on my face somewhere after talking about I'm an evangelist. But I'm glad to be where God put me. And I'm glad I figured out there's more ways to get somewhere than my way. Could you say amen? You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? There's got to be a transformation. Romans chapter 12, listen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves or your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But how are you going to do it? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Can I tell you, church, that some of you need to change the way you think? Some of you got some stinking thinking, and you need to get a hold of God and say, God, would you give me another mind that I can get? We talk about, I want the mind of God. If we ever got that, it'd blow our mind. I don't want the mind of God. I just wanted to straighten mine out. Come on, church. I want him to get me thinking the way he's thinking. I don't want his mind. I won't have to keep up with those 7 billion people at one time. Whew. I don't even want to have to try to think about what's going on just around me right now. I just want to get in his wheel. Let God take it. Come on, church. Let God get a hold of my mind, transform my thinking. If you read the 6th chapter of Ephesians, I'm just going to go to the one I need. In the 17th verse, it said, take on the helmet of salvation. Church, where is your salvation experience at? Where is your relationship with God taking place? It is in your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you ain't going to make it, you probably ain't going to make it. If you think it ain't never going to happen, it probably ain't never going to happen. But if thou canst but believe, all things are possible unto them that believe. And when you start thinking there can be something different, and you start thinking God can do something with me, I got a God that'll pick you up and will transform you. Could you say amen? Ah, oh, come on, church. I remember my first garden after Frieda and I got married. I moved back over by my mom and dad, and I was going to make me a garden. My dad was standing out there, and I had gardens when I was a kid. I got my dad's rototiller, and I got out there, and I picked me out a spot. I told Dad, I said, this is where I'm going to make my garden. Dad said, now, son, that's some tough ground. It's got rocks in it. I said, I don't care. I'm going to make this my garden. I'll never forget. He looked over at me, reached down, cranked the rototiller up. He said, okay. He went on up the hill and left me. I never forget that night at the emergency room. He come walking by, I said, you figure out what I was talking about? Because I'm out there plowing my garden, and I hit a rock, and that thing rolled over, and I snatched it, pulled this arm out of socket, because it hit one of them rocks he told me was in there. I'll never forget, I finally went out there and broke it up, but I didn't let it dig as deep. Planted my stuff, I couldn't understand that the first rain while my stuff was in the next guy's yard. But I understood what fallow ground was in the Bible. It's something that ain't deep, and you bury it till it's short, and it washes away quick. Some of y'all, your relationship with God's like that because you're like that fallow ground. You're like that garden. You don't want to be transformed. You like it being grass on the side of the hill with rocks underneath. You don't want to be what God wants to make you, but you got to become pliable and let a transformation take place. Could you say amen? Some would say I was chasing rabbits just then, but I caught him. Point three, God will destroy all resistance. Hello? Preacher, what are you talking about? Isaiah chapter 43, he talks about the coastlands and the armies. Now, in what I read to you in the New King James, it says he will extinguish them like a tow. Let me put it in New King James so you get a better idea. He will extinguish them like a wick. Ain't you ever put a wick out? See, some of y'all so city, y'all ain't never lit a candle, had to put it out. I wouldn't suggest you try this with a kerosene lamp. You can just roll them down and they go out. But you got a wick. Anybody ever put out a wick? That's what God said he's going to do with your enemies. He's just going. Well, the devil's been all over me. Get on your knees, go to prayer, and God go. Well, this church can't grow. Have you seen this community? My Lord. Brian Cutshaw went to pastor a church, and the demonic people in town told him if he stayed there, they'd kill him. He got out in the parking lot walking around that night waiting on them, praying. Somebody said, what happened? Well, I've heard he speak since then, so they didn't kill him. What happened was he stayed out there, and they actually drove by. But when they went by, they said there was a light glowing in the building, scared them to death, and they moved out of the community and left him alone. That church is running 4,000 right now because I got a God with it. Hallelujah. Come on, church. He said, I'm going to destroy all the enemies and extinguish them like a wick. I'm hurrying. Point four, God will move you into the future by his providence. This is what he said. He said, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He said, I'm going to do stuff you didn't even think I could do when you let me loose in your life. It won't work. I remember there was a cartoon on when I was a kid. And every time it started to do something, it's one do it. It won't work. We're all going to die. I mean, you know, he's one of them kind of people. Y'all might believe it. We got folks in the church like that. It'll never work. We're all doomed. Huh? He's not talking about, we're going to win somebody. No, you won't. We're going to launch out into the sea of God and sail to the other side. We'll sink on the way. We're going to have worship service this morning. I don't like that kind of singing, so I'm going to sit here. You old toad frog. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I lost the influence with a frog in the house. Oh. But isn't it about time you made up your mind that your worship to God ain't tied to whatever song they're singing or how they're singing it? I mean, if the only thing turns you on is getting music your way, you ain't no better than them kids on the street out there doing a boogaloo to a boombox. Amen. You need to get to where you know you're worshiping God. It don't matter what they're doing. Come on. I've been to Romania. I mean, my God, I'm riding down the road with a guy for an hour and a half, and all he says is hallelujah. He played his music, and he'd reach up, turn it up a little louder, and look at me and go, hallelujah. I go, hallelujah. I got to church that morning. I was the only one in the place. Couldn't speak Romanian except for my interpreter, and he was preaching. That was wonderful. I didn't have to worry about preaching his sermon because I didn't have a clue what he said. I'm sitting back there, and they're singing, and I jumped up, and I thought I knew the song, so I'm singing them. I'm having church. I'm worshiping. He walks over, and he said, that's not the song we're singing. I went, I don't care. It's the song I'm singing. Come on, church. Listen, I ain't even got to be in Romania. I was at camp meeting one time. They were singing. I was having a church preacher. Hush. I said, leave me alone, woman. I'm worshiping. She said, well, would you sing the same song everybody else is singing? Amen. You said, what are you getting at? I ain't hung up on what they're doing. I'm worshiping God. I don't care if it's the right song or the wrong song. As long as there's a song singing to him, I'm with them. Come on, church. I mean, I like bluegrass. I like redback hymnals. I'm not big on bluegrass, but I got some bluegrass gospel in my car because I like the folks. Oh. I got some third day audio adrenaline. Hello? See, some of you old folks are, my God, it's crazy. I got Kirk Franklin, T-Bone. I know I lost some of you now. I'm sorry. They're worshiping God. I get into it. I met Kirk Franklin back in the 70s when I was in New York preaching in the 80s. He used to come sing for me before he was somebody. Bring a group with him. He called them God's Property. A bunch of drug addicts and dope addicts. He got off the street.
You know, that's what he's still doing today. Travels all over the world with a group of kids. He's got off the street, gets them in ministry, keeps them to God, and gets them out doing things for God. And I don't care how wild he gets, he's doing the work some of us just dream about. And I like the man. Come on, church. Because I got to know him then, and I know that he didn't worry about what was going to happen. He was worried about worshiping God. And church, we need to get to that place where we come to the house of God. It is not about what I want or what I need. It's about lifting him up and magnifying him. Because when I'm singing, I'm building a throne of praise to him. Could you say amen? God will take us to the future. The last words of a dying church. We ain't never done it that way. And we ain't gonna do it that way. Then lock the doors. Take down the sign and forget it. Because the church changes every time. Well, I don't like the music. Well, guess what? There was a struggle in the church at the turn of the century when they quit singing psalms and started singing hymnals. It almost blew the church apart because folks couldn't believe they wanted to sing them newfangled things out of a book when you had the Bible to sing out of. Why is it quiet? Are y'all getting a history lesson y'all don't want? Because some of you need to realize they like to blow it up because it was different. It wasn't what Granny used to sing. I got news for you. I like Granny's songs, but I like some other songs too. I like to worship God. And when they sing and worship, praise and worship, don't just stand there like, oh, they're doing good. Sing with them. I mean, some of y'all found out the other week I sing with them. I done caught it. I forgot to turn this thing off, and Robert forgot to mute me, and somebody said, we had a new tenor with a choir. Because I was singing. I don't know if it's any good or not, but I turned it loose. I know I could quit. But church, you got to go through the wilderness. Because it's in the wilderness you learn about God. But if you go through the wilderness, always realize on the other side of the wilderness is the promised land. And no matter how long it takes you to get through, God's going to get you across the river into the promises he wants you to have. If you'll let him take you by his providence. What are you talking about, preacher? He'll make a river where there ain't never been a river before. He'll put streams in your deserts. He'll give you a hiding place from the storm. He is that kind of God if you let him take you to a new thing. Stand with me all over the house.